This week on the Inside Flap.
They're 5 minutes in. They're like, this smells in here. Can we? And then before even, without even asking me, they're running over to the windows. They're opening up windows. And this wasn't even from the heat. They were opening up windows and talking about how bad the room smelled. They're like, it smells like sweat in here.
Did they look at you?
Yeah.
Pointedly?
Yeah, and I think they had their suspicions.
You didn't say anything?
I didn't. I was too embarrassed.
The Inside Flap is available on demand and every week on iTunes, Spotify, and around the world on theinsideflap.com. What more can we do for you?
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado, this is the Inside Flap Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Medicus, and welcome to the show. Seated across the room to my right, why, that's Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
And resting comfortably on the couch to my left is Andrew Dowd.
Excelsior.
Excelsior, and welcome to the show. This is episode 242 of the Inside Flap Book Podcast. We've got some great recommendations for you this week. But before we get to that, I got to tell you guys once again, now they put, you know, last winter I complained and complained and complained about how hot my classroom gets in the wintertime.
How hot is it?
There was a robin dipping its beak. So we have radiators. It's an old building, you know, built, I think the building is from the 1920s. We got radiators in there, and like two of the radiators I have a cutoff valve, and it actually works. The one didn't work, so they came in and rigged up a little plastic thing with a wire leading to the knob. And that worked for about a week, and then it stopped working. Now it's just full on all the time. As soon as I walk in, first thing, I'm immediately basically start sweating. So that's annoying. But speaking of sweating, I've been going to Andrew. You were just talking. I guess Andrew, Laura, did you hear this? He bought a home. No, I set up a little thing down in our basement. Which, yeah. Andrew, I'll take you down there. Andrew literally bought a gym.
Ooh.
From someone.
Oh, someone's used gym?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea, actually.
So, you know,
but you can get a
I've got
deal.
A half-ton pickup truck. I have time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put time
since,
on your hands.
Since I did indeed get sacked last week.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right? Officially got the old axe.
You know, and I guess I'll get into that in a little bit, but for $110, I bought this monster home gym.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, they cost like $5,000 brand new.
The Facebook Marketplace? Where did you find that?
Just Craigslist. Well, maybe it was
Craigslist.
People still use Craigslist. I had no idea people still used it. Well, I've been going
serial killers and Andrew.
So I go over to the gym. We have a nice gym, the Carla Madison Rec Center, right there in beautiful downtown Denver, beautiful Colfax Avenue, right next to the East High School. And I go there when it's icy or snowy on the roads so I can hit the indoor stationary bike. Now, I've been having a little bit of a problem. I get on this bike, and before you know it, it's always around the 7-minute mark or the 8-minute mark, I've got sweat. Now, I'm sorry, if you're eating, you might want to pause this and come back to it later, but I get so sweaty. I get so drenched that sweat starts pouring off of my face and dropping down onto the bike so that by the time I'm finished my ride, and mind you, there are hundreds of people all around everywhere. This is a very, very popular gym. It's the biggest, I think, in Denver recreation department or organization. It's the biggest gym. There is, underneath the bike that I'm riding, a small puddle. I mean, this puddle
is
a small dog could do laps back and forth on this puddle that's underneath.
Nasty.
And I got to grab, not only do I have to go, it's so embarrassing. I walk over, grab the, you know, they've got the paper towels there. I have to grab two or three handfuls of them, throw them on the ground, and like with my foot, mop up this, it's like Lake Erie underneath my bike. It's awful. And I'm like,
are
I
you
don't
under
understand.
A heat duct or?
Well, I asked Deb about this, the other theater teacher. Shout out Deb Voss. I said, I don't know what's going on, but every time I go over there to Carla Madison, I'm a wreck on that bike. She said, and her theory is that it's because the swimming pool, there's like three swimming pools in this facility. She says it's humid. So much humidity into the thing. And it's true because when I'm outside biking, I don't sweat that much.
That's
I
what
run.
I was wondering.
I've hit the
there's
the,
a wind too, Dave.
Treadmill yeah, at our little gym.
There's no wind when you're on a stationary bike.
It is
that's true.
It isn't just that. Colorado is an arid climate. Right, I mean,
yeah,
it's a dry climate. You don't sweat as much. Yeah,
no.
So your body is not right.
You're moving through air, creating wind to dry the sweat off
true.
Your brow.
Yeah.
Don't you have a fancy watch that tells you would tell you what the humidity is?
Oh, you
in there?
Probably do.
Maybe I don't know. It does give me the altitude.
Does it
feel
reads
humid? The altitude based on the
does
barometric.
It feel humid?
I don't walk in and I'm like, wow, this is no. It does not.
Have
I'll
you
be
been
honest
showering?
With you. Well, yeah, now, and I actually, well, and this is why I'm now showering after I go there.
I
showered today.
He doesn't always.
At the gym, I use the shower now, and here's why. And this is embarrassing. And I apologize to any of my students who are listening. In fact, I've got a little story about my students, so they probably will be listening. I came back from the gym last week after one of these sweat sessions. It's like I was in a sauna. And I go into my room.
Hot yoga.
And I've got my back, because I just walk over there. I've got my backpack with my gym clothes in there. But at the same time, I had something else in my backpack. So I pull out the gym clothes, throw them behind my desk, and I get whatever else I need. I don't know what it was. I might have even come back and changed, and maybe that's why.
I feel so sorry for your students.
So they come in for the next class, and literally we're 5 minutes. this is embarrassing. They're 5 minutes in. They're like, this smells in here. Can we? And then without even asking me, they're running over to the windows. They're opening up windows. And this wasn't even from the heat. They were opening up windows and talking about how bad the room smelled. They're like, it smells like sweat in here.
Did they look at you?
Yeah.
Pointedly?
Yeah. And I think they had their suspicions.
You didn't say anything?
I didn't. I was too embarrassed. I was too embarrassed.
So now, Dave, didn't you have like a Twitter site or something like that your kids created? What was it?
Super you Dave can look at David.Howard. Well, we got at Dave Superfans on Instagram. Then there's also at David.Howard.Medicus fan page, I think.
So,
I don't know.
So I think maybe I should create a new one, at Shreddy Dave.
At Shreddy Dave.
Shreddy Dave.
So it was awkward. It was really awkward.
Could you smell it?
Yeah, when they brought it to my attention,
I
could smell it.
Yeah.
So now, when I do have to go over there, I do take a shower with the soap that they have there in the showers. But speaking of my...
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know.
Because they always get the weird, weird smell.
Is it weird?
Spencer, yeah. It's like this. It says body soap and shampoo. So you can use it not just as a body soap, but also as a shampoo. And half the time.
That's like Prel or Pert.
The hot water works for the first 2 minutes when you're in there. And then it literally 50% of the time it turns icy cold when you're in there. Mm. And you hear guys shouting
Wow.
Yeah, but speaking of my students, so I brought in this little iPad here where I've got all our fun little sound effects, and I was using it for an improv game we were playing little, fun sound effects as the kids were doing the improv game. And then I played for them this.
You mentioned this, I think, last week.
And this, yeah.
Yep.
And this. And before I know it, they're starting to, like a cult, they're starting to chant Dave Medicus over and over again. So finally, what I did was I actually recorded them. And Andrew, we can get your take on this, since you can play our resident Simon Cowell in the box and give them maybe some critique on their singing technique as I recorded them singing this. All right, Andrew, what do you got for them?
My goodness, kids, don't quit your day jobs.
They're not quite
sounds
all.
Sounds like it's a question.
Yeah,
they sound scattered. They're not close to the mic, are they?
Well, no, I was just holding. I just filmed a video recording and then took the audio from it. But, you know, shout out to my period one class. They're a great class. Maybe not choir, not maybe not for them. They are. It is an acting class, not a singing class. Some of them are in the musical. Mm-hmm. I will say that some of them got a role and then quit the musical, but that, you know, that always happens.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It's a lot of work in their defense.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
And if you're a junior in particular, I don't know how.
And there's always...
Like, that junior year is tough.
Deb Cass, she always overcasts, and then we always have about 10 kids quit. Particularly, we always get some kids who are not happy with the size of their role, and so they beat cheeks out of there.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, that's what's been going on in my world. Laura, how have you been?
Leave it at that. I've had a tough couple or week. I don't know. It's been about a week. So what I didn't say last week, and I'm not going to make this like a super sad story,
right,
but it is really sad.
It is.
Is that our dog Nelson has cancer.
Right.
And it's a very large mass. I saw it on the x-ray. Blood results came back that it is cancer. Mm. he's 12. He is 77 years of age based on his weight,
right,
and age on the doctor's chart there. So... You know, I took him to the vet again yesterday to check on him. He's kind of going downhill fast. And it's been really, really sad.
He's been coughing
here.
A lot.
It has been
around.
Sad. Yeah. So that's not the point of this story, though.
Yeah.
So Sylvia and I were very, very sad today. And she had a doctor's appointment. So.
Oh, nothing will cheer you up like a good doctor's appointment.
So she left for her doctor's appointment. And she goes and she's like, where is it again? Which Kaiser Permanente office is it?
Right.
And I say, oh, it's the Lone Tree office. It's the Lone Tree. It's the hot dog location.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, fine. So she puts that in her GPS and she heads out. Well, she calls me, you know, at 1:59 saying that it's not at the Lone Tree location. It's at the Arapaho medical location, which is probably 15 minutes, maybe 20.
Good, that's a good 20 minutes.
So, you know, and she was upset and I said, okay, well, I'll call and let them know that you are on your way.
Right.
So it's hard when you have Kaiser, it is very hard to get to
a live human being.
It's also hard because there's no direct way to call these medical offices. It's very difficult, Andrew. Very difficult. So if you're shopping for medical care,
mm-hmm, might want to look elsewhere.
I don't know.
The Kaiser doesn't pay us anything. So
no, they definitely don't pay us anything.
An awful lot.
So I call. I have a guy who like immediately transferred me over to the Arapaho Medical Club, whatever. Well, and right. I talk to a woman on the phone who answers for that department that she's seeing. And I tell her, hey, I'd say 17-year-old daughter is on her way because I want to make sure they know she's under 18.
Okay, sure.
Is on her way. She tried to check in at Lone Tree. She's going to be late, but she's coming. She's coming for this appointment. And it's my fault. I also didn't want them to get mad at her because I told her the wrong office.
Yeah.
And the woman goes, yep, yep. Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, no. Lone Tree let me know. Oh, they let me know.
What?
And then...
Like that? All snippy like
that?
It
was incredibly snippy. It was incredibly rude.
Whoa.
And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, it's my fault. She goes, yep.
Wow. You kidding me?
No. Mm. And I said, okay, thanks. But I think she'd hung up by then.
What in the world?
So I call Sylvia back, who's driving. And I was like, hey,
be careful.
You know, the good news Lone Tree called. The receptionist at Lone Tree called and let them know that you're going to be. And Sylvia's like, oh, wow, it's so kind. That's so kind of them. And I was like, yeah, the woman wasn't super friendly. She wasn't super friendly to me. So just a heads up. Because, you want to know if you're walking into that.
Yeah, if you're walking into a den of snakes.
So Sylvia gets there. And listen, this is 4 minutes past the time when it's acceptable to be late. Four minutes past. They have a window that's acceptable, whatever, right?
Okay.
Doctors are late on us all the time. We all know this.
Constantly.
4 minutes past. Lone Tree Medical had called. The parent had called. Mm-hmm. This is someone who's under the age of 18, a child, technically.
Right.
The woman says to her, I'm going to have to charge you $180.
What?
For being late. She said, I don't even think they're going to see you. Go have a seat over there. I don't think they're going to see you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. What is going on?
Hunter and Sylvia, because we've had such a day with Nelson and we're both have, I felt so sad all day today about the dog. I was sad yesterday, trying to feel better about it, but I'm just sad.
So how did she react to this?
I'm surprised she didn't burst into tears.
I'm surprised she didn't burst into tears as well.
She didn't. When you're under 18 and an adult talks to you like that, sometimes you just get quiet because it's an adult. And, it's an authority figure.
There are some teachers who will talk to students like
it's
that.
It's an authority figure. Mm. So she went and sat and was very upset by it, was very upset. And she's like, I don't want to have to pay the $180. And I was like, don't worry, we're not going to pay it. I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And then she was with it. The doctor did see her. Shocker.
Right. Oh, of course.
Spent 5 minutes with her.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. And, you know, whatever. So, yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is absolutely. I mean, that's like we...
Yeah,
I'd say get online and write a review, but I mean,
well, you go online to write
a
review.
There's plenty of them.
They're not well. I was thinking, well, I'll just email Kaiser and let them know, like, hey, this was the experience we had.
Yeah.
Because I also we'd had a bad day. We'd had a sad day. So we weren't in a great frame of mind. I don't know what this woman's personal life is like. Maybe she's having a similarly bad day, but I don't. There's no reason to be mean.
You don't talk.
Yeah.
To the customer
a child.
Like that.
Well, not a young person either.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody. I wish the world was a place where people would treat each other with respect, realize that we're all human, we're all dealing with a load
of
something.
We all could be going through stuff. Yeah. You don't know what someone's day is like.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they teach you that in education. Just if a kid is acting out, you don't know. There could be something else going on. So you always try to talk to them and ask them
probably
what's
usually
going on.
Is.
And there usually is something going on. Absolutely.
In my business life, you know, when I work with developers and stuff like that, I always try to basically, if you guys have any questions or concerns, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I try to be like a safe space is you guys can ask anything. You can talk about anything. You can ask about anything. Now, I will say a lot of times it backfires because
the complaint department is open.
Just because I'm willing to listen doesn't mean that they are.
Oh.
Right. But in general,
what does
I think
that mean?
Well, you know, like they'll say, okay, here, you know, we really should be doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing it this way.
Oh,
right,
I see.
Back to them.
And it'd be like, well, we've considered that, and here's the reasons why we won't.
Here's why you're wrong.
And
that's
then,
what Andrew has to say.
They'll basically like, well, we should still be doing it this way.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, just creating an environment where people can ask questions and talk about stuff.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Are they filled with bad reviews online at this Kaiser location?
Well, I wasn't going to go online. I should go to Google. I was going to email at kb.org and just let them know, like, hey, this was the experience
we had. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. But there's no, like, easy way to, like, email them, so I might just call.
Can't even, get all of them.
Is it even going to make a difference? I mean,
well, and
it'll make me feel better. And then I also wonder if the woman was lying.
But the $180 fee and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And if she was lying, I find it really mean.
So two stories today. Well, I'll tell you one story. So I had my annual physical and I talked to my doctor.
Yay!
Yeah.
Speaking of doctors. Hey, how about that?
And so I talked to my doctor and I said, and it's not Kaiser. And so basically... And I basically said, you know, I have a friend who had his annual physical, and they didn't do this one procedure, right?
Because
There's this one procedure we do that is somewhat...
For men?
For men?
Okay.
For men.
Sure. They don't always do that, I don't think.
No, they don't. I've never had it done.
It's a doctor. And I basically said, and he said,
my
he said, don't tell me. He said, don't tell me. They have Kaiser. And so I didn't even have to tell what health insurance company was. He said it was Kaiser. He says, like... He said, I know it's Kaiser because basically years ago there was a study and Kaiser chose to use that as a reason not to do the prostate exam and when they really should be doing it. And he said, the Kaiser's getting ready to change that. They're basically getting reversed. But I didn't have to say he knew it was Kaiser.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and Dave, crazy. That points to you because you've never had it.
No, I've never had it. I always go waiting for it. And he's like, no, we can just check the blood work.
So...
okay.
Now let's
I'm not
see.
What
are they
it?
Looking for, like cancer, prostate
enlarged,
cancer?
Enlarged. Yeah.
But blood work should show that, correct?
I don't know. like
if they can.
I'm
how
no doctor,
early,
so
yeah.
But basic as far as both.
Yeah.
You know, I feel a little reassured when I get my
sure.
exam results back.
Yeah.
But and then I had to actually choose health insurance for my family today, and so basically told me he's like, "Well, we have Kaiser." I'm like, "Nope, no Kaiser." You know, let's yeah, don't even yeah. need to look at that.
I will say we've had great doctors at Kaiser. Mm-hmm. I
Hell
really
yeah,
like
absolutely.
The doctors. They're
yeah.
for the most part, almost all really kind, caring, compassionate people.
I like my doctor as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the other stuff isn't great with them though. Right. Yeah. And wait times for stuff is bad.
Yeah. Medical care is tough, especially post COVID.
Yeah.
You know, post COVID, everything's, like everything has changed somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've also had a high turnover for docs at Kaiser. So that's the other thing too. And makes
that's
you wonder
true.
Maybe
yep.
I don't, I've heard they don't pay their docs super well. Don't know.
So can I tell a funny story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
So basically I've been getting spam telemarketer calls.
Oh yeah.
Like you would not believe. I'll show you my phone. And I'll just show you the number of calls, send a voicemail. Send
I
a voicemail.
Had to block the Denver Post recently.
Wow, really?
The Denver Post was calling me, no joke, 5 times a day at all hours of the day because I recently canceled my subscription. I hadn't realized I was paying because I don't read the Denver Post. And I blocked the call because I was just so sick of seeing Denver Post calling.
So
they never left a message.
So I listen. And so a lot of times I won't actually listen. Sometimes I'll look at the voicemails.
I usually look.
And
yeah.
so I looked at this voicemail and in the transcript, I see the F word. I see, you know, maybe
did it
maybe
did
multiple
it transcribe
times.
The actual
I'll
F
show
word.
You. I'll show you. Oh. And so basically it might be F **, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's there transcribed. And I'm like, holy cow. And so I listened to it, and this is a very frustrated, what do you call it, telemarketer.
Yeah.
And I gave Dave the audio clip. You can add it. You can edit the pauses out and add it to it, but it is interesting. And there.
Yeah. Well, let's play it here. I'll tell you what. Let's put it in right here. So we'll go ahead and take a listen to a clip. This is Andrew's voicemail that he received. And I'll edit out the pauses from some random telemarketer.
Hi, Bridget. How's it going tonight? Hey, Bridget, how's it going tonight? Son of a fucking bitch. Hi, Bridget, how's it going tonight? My name's Joe, so the state of Georgia has signed me to a request regarding health coverage. Should you have a few minutes to chat? See, I went through all that effort, Bridget. I went through all that effort. Not pleasure to me.
That poor guy.
Yeah, I'm guessing he should probably be looking for another job.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't think they last very long.
No, nah, there's no way. Speaking of high turnover, I mean, it's just like some college kid, I would think.
Sounds
I
like
don't
it.
Know.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
That is somebody who's extremely frustrated with their job, hates their job.
Hates would be the accurate word.
Is not paying too close attention to.
Did he just have you open then?
He probably.
I don't know how that stuff works.
I guess he forgot to hit the next button to hit the next line.
Did you guys
line
ever consider, like, when I was in college, there were signs all over, like, the bathroom and the post things. Like, you can earn up to, and back then, this was a lot of money, $15 an hour as a telemarketer. And that was a lot back then.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever consider that?
No.
Nope.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
You know, I worked as a janitor. I worked as a maintenance person. Let's see. I delivered all kinds of food. I worked as a waiter.
We worked both worked in a bakery on Key Island.
Yeah. So I've done. I worked in a seafood market. I worked on boats.
I've worked there too.
not a telemarketer.
Yeah. No. Definitely not. Have you? No. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But I knew a girl who did.
Because
it's a lot of like for that for us in college in the
90s. $15 an hour back then.
That was
a lot
of money.
Yeah.
And she did, and she said she lasted one night and walked out.
Wow.
Yeah. She said it was awful. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
I also temped. Okay, so I was an office
temp. Yeah.
And I temped at a telemarketing type of facility, some type of a phone company of sorts.
Hmm.
And it was awful in the pen. They kept the lights down low and it was like a pen.
Yeah.
With like real low cubicles and you could just hear people murmuring.
Constant murmuring chatter of, "Hey, you know, he's doing hey, and how are you?"
It was a strange environment. Yeah, I'd forgot about that.
Yep. All right, well, let's get to it, shall we? Why don't we go ahead and open it up?
The library is officially open.
Time for some
book reviews.
And let's start with
Laura Medicus.
She comes from Silver Spoon, Golden
Rule. Laura, what do you got for us this week?
I have a book called Ask for Andrea by Noel W. Ely or Ellie, I-H-L-I.
Okay.
So this book really surprised me. I read it in two nights.
Wow.
Very short book, very fast paced. Once I started, I couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. And I was tired. And we had the stress of Nelson.
Yeah.
Who is not eating very much right now.
Well, nothing like a good book to take your mind
it
off.
Did.
Of,
it did. And like so here's the story. So three young women are murdered by the same man. He is a good-looking guy. He's educated, seemingly educated. He is stalking on a Match.com type of dating site.
Uh-huh.
They're each killed in different areas, one in Boulder, one in Denver, and one in Idaho,
close to home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the unusual thing about the way this story is told. So the story is told through the eyes of the three young women after they've died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you know this from the beginning?
You know this right away.
Wow.
So it sounds a little outlandish, right? Because you're like, oh, now I got to believe in ghosts. But it is. It's told from the point of view of each woman's ghost.
Okay.
So one of the women decides to follow the killer home. The other ends up following the detective that's been assigned to her case.
Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. Are they communicating with each other?
No, they don't know about each other.
Oh, okay.
Because it's separate areas. So it's separate. So one Boulder, Denver, mm-hmm. and then Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give anything away, but they are on their own. These ghosts are on their own.
Okay.
It's not like, hey, there's a world full of ghosts. For all they know, they're the only ghost out there.
Casper, your friendly PI.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and then the third follows her parents around as they try to figure out what happened to her. So the story is just incredibly compelling. It's very emotional. It's written very well. Mm. These women want their bodies to be found, you know, to give their families closure.
Yeah.
They want justice. They definitely want justice, maybe a little revenge. And they don't want him to kill anyone else. And this is so exciting as the story runs along because he is a predator and he's going to be out on the hunt. At least one of these ghosts is going to be out with him when he's on the hunt. Mm. So the subtext of this book, because there's some social commentary in this, is women looking out for other women. There is stuff in here that I thought, well, I'd want Sylvia to read this about putting stuff in people's drinks. Just all different kinds of ways for a guy like this to get a hold of a woman. It's really good. It's excellent, fast-paced thriller. Has a heart to it. It is not crass at all. It's done very well. And it's on Kindle Unlimited.
Hey, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good.
It's so good. It is not a book I thought I would want to read, but it surprised me. It's just really, really engaging.
All right. Yeah. And that is recommended by
Laura Medicus.
And my book this week,
Dave Medicus.
It's a bonfire. Turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfucker.
I've got one by one of my favorite authors. Now, as we get closer, and it is by Don Winslow, it is called The Winter of Frankie Machine. So as we get closer and closer to the unfortunate impending retirement of Don Winslow from writing, I guess he's already stopped writing, but does have one last book coming out, and we hope to have him back on the podcast. But as his retirement looms closer and closer, I've been going back and reading some of his older stuff. This one is from 2006, and it is a very funny crime novel featuring a former mafia hitman turned respectable bait shop owner near the San Diego beach scene. However, just like Al Pacino in Godfather 3,
just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Just
okay, hang on a second.
Yes, yes.
Both of you two made the same face and the same hand gesture.
Did we really? It was a little loud in the headphones.
Yeah.
It's a shame we didn't have video going.
Both of you did. Yeah. It was beautiful. That? It was a mirror image of one another.
What was the hand gesture?
This.
We made fists. Close,
yes.
Close to fist
you both did. It was mirror images on the sofa.
It was a little louder than I, and you didn't flinch at all. I didn't see you flinch.
It didn't seem that loud to me. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, just like Al Pacino, when he thought he was out, he gets pulled back. And now Frank is a guy. Here's a guy in his early 60s. He likes running his little bait shop there. He talks to all the locals. Sometimes he even gets out surfing with the regulars. He likes his life. He's divorced, but he's got a daughter in college that he's close with. All is okay in Frankie's world until one day, without really wanting to, he does a small little favor for the son of a mafia boss he knows, and before you can say, forget about it, he's got the feds after him as well as the mob. Mm. And, of course, you just know that Frank can take care of himself. That's the reason why. They didn't call him Frankie Machine for nothing. And what I love about this book is the character of Frank himself. We get to know him through flashbacks from his life in the mob from the 70s and 80s, and it's really quite fascinating and just a really, really entertaining book as we follow his rise in the ranks and his ultimate dissolution with the mob. It is a rollicking good read as Frank tries to stay one step ahead of the mafia as well as keep his family safe.
Or you could say he's trying to keep himself off the hook.
Oh, the bait shop. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You know,
how long have you been waiting on that?
No, I saw him flinch.
This stuff comes to me instantly.
Okay.
Give me a little.
The genius.
That's a good one. Yeah. It's a good book. Check it out. The Winter of Frankie Machine by Don Winslow. And actually, surprisingly touching as well.
Hmm. He's a good writer.
He's a fantastic writer.
Any bad bait shop puns in this book?
No.
Oh, come on. He missed on a golden opportunity
He really did. Yeah.
But he is a funny writer, and he creates funny scenes, and his dialogue and his characters say funny stuff. And you always have a smile as you're
Andrew's got
books.
One more, I think.
Oh, okay.
So there was a point in time in which somebody tried to talk me into borrowing money from organized crime, right? I mean, and I've told the story in the podcast, but absolute true story. And, you know, for this guy, he grew up with organized crime.
Was it like Philly?
It was New York.
New York, okay.
Brooklyn. Okay. And so basically, you know, and for him it was no big deal. It's like, hey, these guys just got money. You want to borrow money? What's the problem? Right?
But, oh, we know what the problem is.
We all know what the problem is.
But that is the problem is once you, legitimately, once you cross that line, there's no going back.
No. And there's only one way it ends. And that's nothing good. Hmm. All right, Andrew.
Andrew Dowd.
What do you have for us?
So, I have reviewed another Ellie Modesitt Jr. book.
Hmm.
And so, Ellie Modesitt, basically the father, created this series called The Saga of Recluse. And saga, is exactly the right term because there are a lot of books, and the son basically has taken over writing books. And I don't know if his father's still around or not, probably not. I think even Ellie Modesitt Jr. is a little older now. But in any event, this is the latest book, and it is a great world. And the way this magic world works is there's a sophisticated setup of magic, which I'll talk a little bit about. And so every...
And that's, we should point out, that's L.E. Modesitt.
Oh, I was picturing Ellie.
Right, not Ellie.
Yeah,
okay,
Ellie.
Okay, got it. Yes. L.E.
And so, and I don't even know what the L.E. stands for, but his dad was Ellie Modesitt Sr., or Ellie Modesitt, and this is Jr. So, what happens is...
What's the name of the book?
Oh, the name of the book is called From the Forest. And I think that's going to have, like... And so what happens with a new book, and so this is a new book in the series, and so basically a new character is created. So it is a new coming of age story, it is a new character, and then typically, you know, there are three or five or six books about this individual, and you just don't know. I mean, like, some of those story arcs are two or three books, some of them are six books, but it basically just follows, this new character, this new individual, typically sort of a coming of age book. Even if they are older individuals, that is not the case here. And so it's the same world. So you could actually pick up just about any book. You just want to make sure that you're reading the first book in, and I guess I would call it a sub-series.
Okay.
A sub-series of the series. And so, yeah, this is a new book. It's called From the Forest. And I think this is Michael Jordan's favorite book because it is number 23 in the series.
There you go.
Come on.
There we go.
Come on, Dave. You would have gotten that. So anyways,
My bad.
The
My
system bad. Of magic in this book, and I don't know if there's more symbolism, and I haven't like read reviews and stuff on what this is, but there's two different types of magic. There is order, you know, and then there is chaos, right? And order magic is based on order.
What's your favorite kind of magic?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay. So all anyways, right. So there's order and there's chaos. So chaos is like wild magic, you know, order is all, you know, organized and stuff like that. You know, it's light versus dark magic. Mm. But there's sort of this juxtaposition between order and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a lot of these worlds, you either are magicians of order or magicians of chaos. You don't mix, right? And there's a lot of ideology and stuff like that in and around it. You don't mix. It's a very polarized world, and it's a very polarized system. And so what magic do I like is the magic is basically if you blend the two, you can do just about anything. You could do
trick answer.
Miraculous things.
Both.
But the problem is if you decide to blend the magic,
mm-hmm.
You are in no man's land because now basically the people that are order magicians won't like you, and the people that are chaos magicians won't like you. And you can't exactly control it. I mean, you're gifted with what you're gifted.
Hmm.
And the thing is, if people find out that you are blending magic, you become a target, right?
Hmm.
And so it's, you know, that's the world here. And so the main character's name is Ali Akal, and I may not be pronouncing that right. He is a young man. He's learning magic and swordsmanship. His father is extremely strict with him. And I talked a little bit recently, I read a book where there was a relationship between brothers and the brothers basically that was a good relationship in the book. And there's a good relationship between the father and the son. And the son doesn't understand initially, why is my dad so tough on me? His mother died when he was 8. His father is a mirror lancer major. So he's basically survived in the military. He has basically seen things and he realizes, and his dad blends the magic, right? And that's a problem because if you are a mirror lancer, they want you to be a good officer, but they only want you to have a touch of magic. And so if you have more than a touch of magic, then you really should become a magi. But the magi are order magi, and if you are showing chaos magic and order magic, you don't fit in there. So the problem with Ali Kial is he and his father don't really fit anywhere. But the best path they have is to be a mirror lancer, to hide their abilities and to keep their heads down.
They're divergent.
Yeah. Yep. And so, of course, you know, these gentlemen are put in situations where their life is at risk. And so they obviously have to push the limits. You know, and there's people in the society that will recognize that this person is too exceptional. They must have magic. And there's some people that want to persecute that. But there's other people that basically recognize that helps them do a better job. And they will, I wouldn't say reward them, but they'll protect them a little bit without sticking their necks out to try and then put them in a place where they can actually benefit the organization without risking, you know, the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I just wonder between, you know, the light and the dark, the order and the chaos, you know, is there a greater meaning here,
mm-hmm.
Right? And in terms of what they're trying to sell. So you know, it's good that he forms a good relationship with his dad, and then his dad is not around anymore, right? And I won't go into too much detail with that. And so he's literally on his own now.
Mm.
But his dad probably knew that this was going to happen, and he did everything he could to prepare his son. And so it's kind of good that they've reached a good place when things happen. So now, as far as the forest part of the book, there's the Great Wild Forest. And the Great Wild Forest, I don't know that I would describe it as like chaos or order. It's just simply maybe it's everything. But the forest is also considered sentient. Like the forest is extremely powerful, where most people, the thought of even walking into the forest, there's creatures there that can kill powerful magicians. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, you imagine just the great wild forest. You know, it is just, you don't go in there, you don't engage with it. Well, Ali Kiao.
Eli?
Yeah, I'll just call him Ali for short. Okay. Ali for short. So yeah. Ali for short. He actually meets somebody and he ends up going into the forest. And his magic becomes strong enough that the forest recognizes him and respects him, because he also recognizes the forest. Because part of it is people want to destroy the forest and then they have a problem with it. But if they learn to kind of live in harmony with the forest and respect the forest, then, you know, the forest will respect them in turn.
Right.
So that also happens. And so the forest basically gifts Ali with some abilities, maybe multiple times in the book. And this first book basically sets up a foundation where it'll be interesting to see what happens further on, because the forest also basically recognizes that Ali is going to be somebody super special. And this book builds the basis for that. It doesn't really get to like how special he is going to become. He certainly accomplishes a lot in this first book, but it's really just building the basis of who he is and who his magic is. And you don't really get an idea of just how exceptional he's going to become. And, you know, and so he goes like he has like a sort of like boot camp he has to go to. Then he gets sent to like these foreign outposts. We have to deal with barbarians. He succeeds there. He basically gets somewhere else. But, you know, the thing about Ellie Modesitt's books, any or senior or junior, it is extremely detailed, great character books. You'll love the character development in the book. And, you know, typically there's always another book to read. So, you know, if you want,
I can't believe that's book 23.
Yeah, it's book number 23. And if you look up, like, I don't know what awards he's won and things like that too, but Ellie Modesitt's books, like if you go into the science fiction section, I mean, typically there is a large section with a lot of big, thick books basically on the shelves. And like I said, I would just say be careful. I mean, this is a good book to start to start a new series.
Mm-hmm.
But just be careful when you read a book. You don't want to read of each of the sub-series. You don't want to start book two, right, of the sub-series.
Yeah, nerds.
Yeah.
Start with book one.
Yeah, so do a little bit of research if you're going to pick up a book in the series. But I've been reading these books for decades. But this book is the newest, book number 23, MJ's Favorite, From the Forest by Ellie Modesitt Jr.
All right. And right now it's at a 4.62 on Goodreads.
Wow.
So people are loving this one.
He's got a lot of fans.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes us up to
Audiobook of the Week.
And my pick this week is, now this is another dipping back into time, going back a little bit from 2019. So Sylvia has been really reading a lot recently, and she had never been, Laura and I both cut, and Andrew, you too, we cut our teeth as Stephen King readers at a very young age. Sylvia just read The Shining, and we're getting ready to go head up into the mountains, and I wanted she loved it, but I wanted to find a Stephen King book that we could both listen to. And I found one on the library that was available, and that's my pick for this week. It is The Institute. This was a re-listen for me, Sylvia's first listen. She loved it, by Stephen King, read by, and the reason why I'm really recommending this as an audiobook is that this reader, his name is Santino Fontana. He is so good that I immediately looked up other books he has read. And I've got one downloaded right now. That's how good
how good these readers are, because when I come at it and I hear either one of you two listening to it at 1.5 or 2 times speed,
you can't.
Who cares what the reader sounds like when it's fast?
That's not true. Do I need to remind you of the time we listened to an entire book at 1.5 and you didn't even know it because I didn't tell you?
True.
You can tell the voices this guy does, the emotions he carries. It's phenomenal.
Rapid fire.
And I would say, a lot of times, I think 1.25 like, is absolutely no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there are times like 1.5 is.
I think Sylvie was listening to it 2 times.
Mm. And she did read it very fast.
And it was like, what is going on? This is so stressful.
Yeah, I don't like to listen to it at
so
two,
stressful.
Two, two times.
Yeah.
I honestly think they are trained as performers for these audiobooks to speak slower, because I find it to be so slow when they read them. But I think a lot of people do like it slow. And if you want to speed it up, you speed it up a little bit. At 1.5, it you don't get that sound to it. You can still appreciate his voices. And he does great voices for the characters.
Yeah, and I know sometimes I'll talk really fast, like I want to get a lot of information. So I'll just go, okay.
Just talk real fast.
So, but
he smokes a lot of heroin.
So I'm
heroin.
Reading.
I mean, what am I talking about? Snorting a lot of cocaine.
So I'm reading another book in the series, and it's interesting.
Relatable.
But the guy has a whole chapter, I don't know what you want to call it, but he has a whole like foreword in the beginning of the book where he apologizes because. The guy who did the audiobook, the first audiobook.
Oh, did he mispronounce it?
He's no longer available.
And so
because the narrator was Travis Baldry, and so he basically, Travis Baldry started writing books of his own.
Huh.
And so between writing books of his own, this guy is like, well, it would be at least 3 or 4 years before Travis Baldry would be able to narrate books. So he's like, you know, as much as I want Travis Baldry, we're not going to wait 3 or 4 years
right. Yeah.
For that. But, you know, he felt it was important enough to basically explain the situation to his readers. And like I said, this is a book I'm reading.
Hmm.
But still, like, the narrator is such. And it really does, like, certain narrators, narrators can make or break the reading of a book.
Yeah, I've stopped listening to a book because I didn't like the narrator on many, many occasions. But this is the opposite. And I looked him up, and he does do a lot of Stephen King books. He does some very popular authors as well. He's definitely somebody who's out there doing the work. So The Institute is about, if you don't know, if you haven't read it, I'd highly recommend it. It is about a home in Maine for kids. Of course, it's Stephen King. Of course, it's going to be Maine. A home in Maine for kids who have some form of either telepathic or telekinetic powers. Now, I say home, but it's more like a prison where these kids are locked up. Now, they are able to earn rewards like alcohol and cigarettes. And yes, these are, for the most part, kids who are in their early teens or younger. These kids have been kidnapped from their real homes. Their parents have been murdered. And they are here as prisoners in this institute. Now, I had forgotten how good this book really is. And the narration only strengthens it. Andrew, have you read this book?
I have not.
I'd recommend it.
Hmm.
Laura, you've read it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've enjoyed it.
It was very good.
Mm-hmm. It is a horrifying look at big government, thought control, and what happens when power can get into the wrong hands. It is chilling, and the ending really got to me. Such a good read. Let's take a listen to a clip. This is The Institute by Stephen King, read by Santino Fontana.
That's a flag, Guyana, she said when he asked. Found it in the trash barrel behind the zonies. Pretty, isn't it?
She was sitting in an easy chair covered with clear plastic and knitting a scarf that looked long enough for one of George R.R. Martin's giants. She was friendly enough, exhibiting no sign of what one of Tim's fellow Sarasota officers had named homeless paranoid syndrome. But she was a fan of late-night talk radio on WMDK, and her conversation sometimes wandered off into strange byroads that had to do with flying saucers, walk-ins, and demonic possession.
Audiobook of the week,
The Inside Flap.
All right, there you go. That is your audiobook of the week. And how could you go wrong with Stephen King? I put that to you. You cannot. That'll do it for us this week. Thanks to us. And thanks to you for listening. We will be back next week. Who do we got next week? We got Greg Hurwitz. We had a great talk with him. He's got a new book coming out, and we'll have that conversation for you then. Until then, thanks for listening. Tell a friend. My name is Dave Medicus. See ya.
Adios.
Excelsior.
Son of a fucking bitch.